unfasten your chin strap and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome into the Eric Ainge Show on a Friday morning. Friday morning from Rusty Wallace Kia, I-75 and Callahan Drive. Thank you, Jay, for getting us all set up. Thank you, Tom, for getting us over here. Appreciate that. Thank you, Joe, for being so awesome and beautiful and perfect when we walk in here to do our show on a Friday morning. So, Brian, this morning, my dad game was strong.
Okay.
Real strong.
All right.
That's where – so I wake up. Last night, Ramsey was just, she didn't sleep at all. She was just awake. And so Amanda, since I have to be coherent and talk for a living, she stepped up to the plate, stayed with the baby for most of the night. And so I let her sleep in this morning. So I had to get both kids ready for school.
Ah.
From wake up to close, breakfast, packed lunches, brushed teeth, did hair, got jackets on, out the door, to school on time and to the radio on time. My dad game was strong today. I wish that my kids rode the bus, because then I could have just done half that stuff and just sent them out the door.
Yeah, that was the topic on the starting lineup. Did you ride the bus when you were a kid?
For like a week. And then I became a walker.
Did you get thrown off the bus?
Self-inflicted, became a walker.
What did you do to get thrown off the bus?
I'd rather not. So did you ride the bus?
No, I never went to a school that had a bus.
Oh, that's real bougie.
Yeah. My mom had to drive me across town to go to First Lutheran for elementary and middle school, and then we drove across town to go to Catholic, and then Catholic moved, and I drove like 10 minutes,
even
5 minutes.
Well,
so, no, we rode the bus when we went on field trips and sports trips. That was it. Does that explain a lot? We'll see. Let's take a look at the game plan.
Quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right. It is a big Friday ahead of the AFC and NFC championships. We'll, of course, talk about that throughout the day. LSU won a national championship. We sat here last week, picked that they would, and then Monday they did. Since then, things have not been going great for LSU. Now, you won a national championship, so that covers most everything. Earlier, it was announced that passing game coordinator and offensive genius Joe Brady is going to the Carolina Panthers. They had a whole group of players leave early for the NFL. Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
That's a whole thing that we'll get to.
We'll get to that. I'm sorry. That security guard, like, OBJ was annoying.
Yeah.
He was annoying the whole game. Yeah. He tried to get on the band, and they said no, and then escorted him away. He was giving guys money. He was making it about him. Every time there's a camera, he would go put himself in front of the camera. He was obnoxious.
Yeah. But it turns out the same security guard that was telling the players smoking cigars that they were subject to arrest was harassing another player, and Odell Beckham slapped him on the butt, and now Odell Beckham has a warrant filed against him.
Yeah. Well, needs to have his job taken from him for how he was handling
the whole thing. Police officer. He is just a security officer. So if there's a situation where nobody's in the right, that's it. We'll talk about that coming up.
Mm.
But speaking of LSU,
you should not get to be in the post-game celebrating locker room where they're popping bottles of champagne and doing all sorts of other stuff. Maybe not in college. I don't know if they pop champagne bottles. But I was in the Celtics 2008 NBA championship locker room. If you were a security guard in there and you told anybody anything, you should have got slapped.
Yeah.
There Not
needs
on
to be
the butt.
A security guard at the door to make sure everybody has a credential when they come in.
And that's it.
Yeah. The important LSU story, though, is Dave Aranda, their defensive coordinator, is taking the head coaching job at Baylor.
I have a hot take on all this later whenever we get to it.
On which part?
LSU in general, with everything that they're losing.
All right. Karen Wakely, Tennessee softball co-head coach, will join us at 10:15. The Lady Vols open the season 3 weeks from tomorrow out in Arizona. So
nice. It'll
be fun. But they've been in practice now for a little over a week, so we'll talk to Karen about what has transpired so far, how the team looks. We'll get all the updates coming up at 10:15. I didn't change the team name in the rundown from last week, but Lady Vol basketball murdered Florida last night. They were playing really well on Thursdays.
They're still a little inconsistent, but you can see the ceiling for the Lady Vol basketball team under first-year coach Kelly Harper is through the roof.
I just like that they hammer bad teams.
Yeah.
They got an opportunity to do it again Monday night, not Sunday, but Monday night. $5 tickets at allvols.com if you want to check out the Lady Vols in Alabama as Tennessee inexplicably has to try to break a losing streak to Alabama Monday night at Thompson Bowling Arena. On the eve of championship weekend, the NFL and the NFLPA may be on the verge of a new collective bargaining agreement that would keep them from out of a work stoppage in a couple of years. There are still some, quote, major issues that remain, but we'll go through what those numbers look like because TV revenues are about to go way up and so are player salaries.
It's all a profit share. When people get mad at how much the players make, that's not their fault.
They get madder when the owners make a whole bunch and the players don't make anything comparatively. Yeah. So it's all there.
They're all making plenty of money to come to agreements.
Yeah.
Everybody's already rich at those tables. Just calm down.
Everybody's getting richer. We'll have our weekend preview and Tennessee-Vanderbilt tomorrow as the Vols stay on the road. An important game for Tennessee. They try to break a mini losing streak, and Vanderbilt definitely trying to break a losing streak going back two seasons.
Penny Hardaway working at Memphis. Jerry Stackhouse taking off slow.
He had a tougher road to hoe at Vanderbilt than I think Penny did at Memphis.
I would agree with that, but here nor there, taking off slow.
Yes,
would be the
that is correct.
Still too early to tell, but taking off slow.
And we'll review some of our prop bet picks with Jake from your Rusty Walskia when he comes on, because we went through the whole thing, and we'll go through who won our bowl.
I'm pretty sure I did bad in the prop bets. Not sure.
We'll review it coming up in a little
Sounds
bit.
Good.
That's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by 42nd Street.
42SD.com. You hear me talk about Mike and his team over there at 42nd Street every single day here on the Eric Ains Show, and it's for a reason. They sponsor the game plan, but they can help you with your business's game plan as well. Marketing, everything, business, logos, your digital footprint, what people see and think of you on the internet. They can talk you through the whole thing and help you do that. They can do the AdWords advertising for you. They can do the Facebook advertising for you. They can do different things, social media posting. They have a full-time staff copywriter. And let me just tell you, from someone who writes copy for commercials all the time for clients, it really ought to be a full-time job. And they have someone who does that full-time. That's just what they do. They write for blog, write for the website, write for the social media posts. They write. Their job is to learn your business, and then your job is to ask them questions and let them guide you. It's really simple, and if you own a business and you haven't added Mike and his team to your team, you are not smart if you haven't done it. 42SD.com. Do it.
The Eric Ains Show returns next from here at Rusty Walskia. We'll run through their weekend specials here at Rusty Walskia when we return on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
How about a little Food Friday for you, Brian?
I always love Food Friday.
It's the Eric Ains Show on the Sports Animal, brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. We're live today at Rusty Wallace Kia, I-75 and Callahan Drive. Brian, what's going on at Rusty Wallace Kia right now? What can people come in and buy, lease? What's going on here?
Oh, we have some great specials here at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, and I just clicked out of it, so need some help with you.
Bottom line is Kia is going to let you make, they're going to make all the payments until next year. From now through January 31st, you can purchase a Kia Optima, Sportage, Sorento, or Sedona, four models, and they'll make your payments until 2021.
An entire year of payments on Rusty Wallace Kia. That's pretty amazing.
No payments for a year, no money out of pocket, no reason to wait. Rusty Wallace Kia, I-75, Callahan Drive. Come on.
You got now through January 31st to take advantage of that, but you should come.
I'm curious
right
off the air how that's possible. How did they do that? How does Jake pull that off? That's incredible. I mean, that's go ahead. Come on.
I assume they didn't tell Rusty, so you should probably hurry just in case.
No payments for a year.
We said it on the radio, so they have to honor.
There you go.
All right. Dave Aranda's leaving LSU. Joe Brady left LSU earlier this week. Dave Aranda's going to Baylor, where he will be the head coach. They're interesting that Baylor went defense for their head coach, being known more for their offense in recent years.
I'm good with them going defense. I mean, they recruit so many good players, and those offensive – you can, if you're a defensive guy, you can hire an offensive guru and leave the offense alone and have a ton of success. I think it's smart going defense at this point in time, because what if they hire someone and they just keep rolling on offense and you hire Dave Aranda, and what if your defense gets a lot better? I mean, I think it's impossible to say that they're going to get worse on defense. I would imagine Baylor's got a ton of athletes. Their defensive athletes are as athletic or more athletic than every team they play in their conference.
Yeah.
There's no reason to think that they shouldn't have a ton of success. I think Aranda to Baylor is a really good hire.
Yeah. I do, too. I think he will have success there. But what does it mean for LSU?
Well, I don't think that LSU is in as bad a shape as some people do.
They've recruited very, very well. And they're losing a lot, but they've recruited very well, which is also the case for places like Alabama and Georgia.
For sure. They've lost offensive tackle Sadiq Charles and Lloyd Cushenberry. They've lost linebackers Patrick Queen and Jacob Phillips. Patrick Queen wasn't even a starter to start the year. He took over early in the season, and he's number eight. I mean, he is all over the dang place. He's a stud. They lose running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, rushed for 1,400 yards and 16 touchdowns this year with 453 yards and a touchdown receiving, which is just incredible. They lose seven player underclassmen to the NFL. Obviously, they lose their Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Burrow. That also includes wide receiver Justin Jefferson. He's gone. But we'll see what they do. I think the Dave Aranda loss to Baylor is huge. I don't think there's any way you can dance around that if you're Ed Orgeron.
No.
What you and do, who you hire as your defensive coordinator to fill the Dave Aranda loss is huge. If you assume he makes a good hire there. And I don't think I don't see why we would think anything other than he would hire someone good, because look at the staff he had coaching there last year. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So assume he hires a good DC. I don't think the Joe Brady loss is a loss. And I say that he's going to Carolina, right, to be with Matt Rhule,
correct,
the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Good for him. 30 years old, real smart guy. Took the NFL, the Saints offense, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, put it in Baton Rouge. But I think a lot of people who got excited with the youngster forgot that he didn't call the plays. He influenced the offense in the offseason. He helped put things in. But Ensminger was calling plays all year long. So Ensminger obviously understands the couple concepts that have been brought to LSU and added that to his arsenal. And then not only that, but done it at a really, really high level for 15 games in producing what was the most electrifying offense in college football history. So I think Ensminger takes what Joe Brady brought. He's already done it for a year himself. I don't see why anyone would think that going into next year, he's not capable of doing it again. Now, he's not going to have Joe Burrow. He's going to lose Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, two offensive linemen. So they have to replace some of those things. But I saw those other LSU running backs run. They look really good. They're not Edwards-Helaire, but they look really, really good. He still has Jamar Chase. Is Moss a senior? I think he might.
I
think
yeah,
he was
a senior
so they're going to have to get a new tight end. They have a lot to replace. I don't think that as long as they get a good defensive coordinator, I think Ensminger and the D coordinator, whoever they hire, with all those athletes, will be able to be very competitive for the SEC West again next year.
Ensminger's calling the plays, but Brady's the one that turned Joe Burrow from guy that they hoped was going to be as good as Zach Mettenberger to first overall pick. I don't think you can duplicate that. I think Brady's a huge loss.
Well, I don't think you're not going to duplicate it. You don't have Joe Burrow either, but Ensminger was there with him, doing it with him the whole time.
But in his long career, in his long career, he does not have a history of being as good as he was this year.
No, and that's what I'm saying. It would concern me if you bring Joe Brady in, and Joe Brady brings in concepts and does all that, and then you find out he's calling the plays too, and Ensminger's just kind of helping with the run game or something like that. That would really then cause me to be on alert for whether Ensminger could produce good play calling in that kind of scheme again. But when they introduce it in the offseason and they put the stuff in for spring practice and training camp, and then you get to the season and Ensminger's calling the plays, is it going to be as good? No. Joe Burrow's not there. You lose a lot. Joe Brady's not next to you. I'm not saying it's going to be what it was this year, but this year it was the best we've ever seen.
Right.
I'm just saying Ensminger, once you add that to your arsenal with all that he already knows in traditional pro-style 11, 12 personnel football and run game, that can't be forgotten either. I think they'll be in much better shape than they would have been losing Burrow, even if Brady never came. I mean, the best thing they did was get Joe Brady. Joe Brady helped modernize and added some stuff to what Ensminger's capable of doing. I'm just saying I think he's capable of doing it now. You don't have to have Joe Brady next to you to do something you've already done all year long.
The interesting thing will be, where do they go for the defensive coordinator to replace Dave Aranda? Because Ed Orgeron went and got him from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So who's that guy out there that he can go get that he knows speaks the same language? A lot of the hot defensive coordinator prospects, for lack of a better term, have either just become head coaches or are probably not going to leave. You know, if you're Derek Ansley, you're not leaving Tennessee to go to LSU and work for Ed Orgeron right now. They just won a national championship, but you just got your system in here. You're not making that move. So who are some of the other guys out there? I don't think somebody's leaving an SEC school to go there. So that's the most important hire for the next 5 years of Ed Orgeron's program.
100% in agreement on that. That's massive, who they get to come in and be in charge of the defense. I do think it's pretty easy to be a defensive coordinator when you have lockdown corners. Like, he's going to have some of the best corner in the country, and then some of the other best corners in the league on that team. He's got a strong safety that's better than everybody, probably the best strong safety, down box count strong safety in number three. I forget all their names. I've been hitting the head a lot. Yeah. But he's incredible. I mean, I think whoever they do bring in for defensive coordinator is going to go, so I can play man-to-man and my pass rush can get to the quarterback? What's all the fuss about? This won't be that hard.
One name to watch, I'm told, Todd Grantham from Florida. He tried actively to get head coaching jobs this cycle around, and apparently that wore thin on the people in Gainesville.
Oh, gosh, Grantham at LSU would be sick.
I tell you who would terrify me.
Because all he wants to do is play man and blitz.
If even more than Grantham, Bob Shoup just took a job at Michigan. But if Bob Shoup came back down there the way that he was aggressive at Mississippi State. Now, they took a step back this year after losing guys to the NFL draft.
Yeah, they lost like three first-rounders.
But with the talent he had 2 years ago, they had one of the top defenses in the country.
Which is what he's got at LSU.
At Mississippi State, yeah. That could be something. He just took a job at Michigan as assistant DC. We'll see. But
you know, and the way that everyone's going young now too, I bet there's 20 names that we aren't even thinking about. And I really do think whoever goes there, like if you're proven at all anywhere and you like to do and you're an aggressive in your face press kind of guy,
yeah,
then that's a dream job.
To work with those athletes, it certainly is.
It's a dream. I mean, it's like being the DC. It's like being the DC at Alabama.
When we come back, Odell Beckham had a week. Well, he had a day, really.
He's been out of the news for a while, too. I mean, you want to give the guy some credit during a struggling year on the field. You know, not a good year on the field for OBJ or his team that he's on.
But he's made up for it now all at once. It's the Eric Ains Show coming to you live from Rusty Wallace, Key of Knoxville on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Join us. We were talking LSU last segment. Wyatt is on the line. Wyatt, welcome in.
Yeah, let me turn the radio down. Sorry. You were talking something I was thinking about the other day when they were talking about hiring Mike Leach for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
If I were wanting to hire him for Mississippi State, or if you were willing to try him at Tennessee, I would have said, okay, if you're coming in, we've got $1 million also set up for your defensive coordinator, but he's got to be a good one to get it. When Steve Spurrier came in, hot offensive coach, you know, he was winning at Duke, considering how well, you know, bad was Duke, and got to Florida, he was winning, but he never could win the national championship until he got Stoops as his defensive coordinator, and then he won, even though his offense, they were catching up with it. And then Stoops goes to Oklahoma, and he takes Leach as his offensive coordinator because that was the one that he was the guy that gave him the most trouble.
Yeah.
And even though Leach left the next year, they got a coordinator that's kind of under him that, you know, got promoted in, and he wins a national championship. If Leach, what Leach needed to do is hire him a defensive coordinator, you know, somebody like an Ansley or somebody that can do the job good. And then, you know, he's got the high-powered offense and he's got a defense to slow the other guy down. I don't know who he would pick, but he would need to get somebody like that, same way that LSU kind of needs to, you know, get an offensive and defensive coordinators now.
In talking to some people at Mississippi State, it was strongly suggested to him that he look at keeping Bob Shoup, and he did not show any interest in doing that. Because that's a guy who was achieving at a high level with his defense at that school, and Leach just said, no. And that's the right of a head coach to come in. I don't know where Mike Leach would go, because in the Pac-12, there weren't defensive coordinators that really gave his team a lot of trouble. So I agree with your premise, and he should have seen it firsthand. I don't know where he goes. I think that Ed Orgeron at LSU is much more in tune to who is a good defensive teacher than certainly than Mike Leach, because Ed Orgeron was a defensive line coach and has done that at multiple stops and has always had that unit perform well wherever he was as an assistant coach.
I was thinking, would Orgeron be interested in Stoops then, since he, you know, been let go at home at Mississippi State?
I think he would. I think that's a call that I would make if I was Ed Orgeron. He knows what he wants, and I don't know that their systems match up or their thought processes match up, but if they do, that's a call that he's made. Now, what kind of contract is Shoup signed at Michigan? What is he going to do up there? Would he rather? I'm sure he would rather coach at LSU, but I think that's somebody that they will look at certainly. And I think Todd Grantham is another one that he's making a call to right now.
It just, you know, it seemed like that would be the way to go. One time when I was really frustrated at, I know it wouldn't have worked, but when I was really frustrated at the way Dudley was doing things at Tennessee, I said I could do better. I would take a real small salary, and then I would get somebody like, you know, then I would get a, you know, go out and get the best offensive and defensive coordinators I could, you know, like $1 million wins, because I'm taking less, so I can give them more, kind of like Kiffin did with us, with his dad, you know, getting a big salary. And I would take less, and I get the best offensive and defensive coordinator, and say I'll probably only be here 3 years. and one of you is going to get the job, you know, but I want you to, you know, win me a national championship in the process. But and then turned over to the coordinators. But it still wouldn't have worked because I don't know enough football, but that would almost be the way to do it. You get the best offense, defense coordinators you got and turn it loose.
Yeah.
You know, and you do things like – go ahead.
Yeah. No, right. We appreciate it because I think that's exactly what Ed Orgeron has done. He makes a lower salary than most SEC head coaches, but part of that was he wanted an unlimited budget for his coordinators, and that's what he had. I mean, he had basically two offensive coordinators this year and Dave Aranda's defensive coordinator, and they were all among the highest paid in the country.
I mean, isn't that what you'd want to do? I mean, like, think about it. I know you want to make your window to be a head coach in major college football and make all that money is longer than most in professional athletics if you're coaching or playing. But it's still, I mean, look at Butch Jones. Butch Jones made a lot of money when he was the head coach here. Really, the first time he made a lot of money was a head coach here. And he may not ever get to be a head coach again.
And how much he made and his defensive coordinator made were part of him not being able to pay an offensive coordinator enough money, and he lost his job because of it.
Exactly. When you get told that you only have $600,000 to hire an OC, then you promote Larry Scott.
Because that's probably the best you could do for $600,000.
That's not a bad hire for $600,000. Yeah. If you don't have coordinators that are making seven figures in 2020, then I challenge your administration and the head football coach.
Yeah.
Because if you look at all the teams that are winning, they're paying their coordinators seven figures to be the best.
Yeah.
And if you have coordinators that aren't seven figure guys, then they're either young and you hope they're great, and that's just it. They're just young, so they're not making that much money yet, right? They haven't boasted their value up to seven figures. But if they're good and they're young, like, I don't know what Ansley makes. I think it's a seven figures though, because he was like a seven figure coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when Pruitt identified who he wanted, and Fulmer and him just went out and got him. And they were willing to pay what they were willing to pay to have him. Like, that's just kind of what you have to do. If you have to decide what it is, who you is that you want for your team, for your organization in college football, and then you have to go out and you just have to make the money work.
Yeah.
You can't let finance determine who the best fit and hire is to be a coordinator at your school.
Because if it works, the payoff is enormous. I mean, look at LSU right now. I mean, they've sold out their season tickets now for the next few years, no matter what.
For sure.
Their donations will peak. They're on the academic side, their admissions will get a bump. That's a fact that happens every time. So you reap the rewards when you make the investment. I think Ed Orgeron has done that. And here's the thing. The last three coaches to win national championships are Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, and Ed Orgeron. Well, what do those last two have in common? Their ego has been pushed aside multiple times in their coaching career, and when they push their egos aside the most is when they've had the most success. And Dabo is whether you buy the aw shucks attitude or not, it seems like that is the case, and he would rather his assistants get a raise than he does. Ed Orgeron took more money so he could ensure that his team had success.
Took less money.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Took less money to ensure that he had more money to pay his coordinators and his assistants, and they won a national championship.
And listen, $3 million, and you talk about hitting the incentives in your contract.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's – I would like to think that if I were to get into coaching and 10 years from now I was hired as the head coach at the University of Tennessee – I'd never want to do that, but if it were, let's just pretend.
Okay.
I would like to think that over my 10-year coaching career, getting myself to be a coordinator and have success and then go be a head coach and then be back at the University of Tennessee, I would like to think that I wouldn't negotiate the highest possible salary for myself.
Yeah.
And I would go out there and I'd do the same thing Orgeron did and say, listen, $3 million is enough money for me. Let's also put in, if I hit these incentives, instead of token, 50 grand, 100 grand, You know, if I win the SEC, I want, you know, you can pay me an extra $1 million. Why? Because if you win the SEC, your university is making way more money. Just, we could have a 20-minute conversation on all the things that get boosts in pay, ticket sales, concessions, memorabilia, all that stuff. You know, season ticket donations, donations period. I'm worth $1 million if I win the conference championship. God forbid, you know, go do anything like that. Like, that's how I would build my contract. I love what Ed Orgeron has done, and because he's going to actually have a chance to hit all those because the way that his contract works.
Ed Orgeron's base salary was $4 million. He earned a $250,000 bonus for reaching the 10th win when they defeated Ole Miss. He made an additional $100,000 for the 11th win of the year, and another $150,000 for finishing the regular season 12-0. He also picked up a $100,000 bonus for an SEC championship, or excuse me, $200,000 for winning the SEC championship. Yeah. Would have only gotten $100,000 for making the game, and by winning the national championship, he totaled $900,000 more in bonuses.
Yeah, so good. So he was got a $4 million salary, which allows him
he
to go and hire.
Nearly six after all the bonuses.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We'll go back here to Rusty Wallace, Kia of Knoxville. They're not going to give you a $900,000 bonus for winning a championship, but they have some incredible deals. We'll run through those next. So we return to Callahan Drive on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Live from Rusty Wallace, Kia of Knoxville, I-75 and Callahan Drive. Check this out.
Not a better deal anywhere.
From now through the end of the month, 2 weeks from today, you can purchase a Kia Optima, a Kia Sportage, Kia Sorento, or a Sedona, four models, and they'll make every payment for you until 2021. That's an entire year's worth of payments. No payments for a year, no money out of pocket, no reason to wait. Rusty Wallace, Kia of Knoxville.
Yeah, you guys, if you're looking for a new car,
and it's going to come with a 200,000-mile warranty. You're going to get a car with a 200,000-mile warranty, and you won't have to make a single payment until 2021.
If you're looking for a new Kia, you need to break down the doors here at Rusty Wallace Kia right now.
Even if you weren't, that's a deal. That's a deal you can't miss.
It's now through January 31st, so you have some time. But really, you need to get in here this weekend, and we'll talk to Jake coming up at 11 o'clock as well. Karen Wakely from Tennessee Softball coming up at 10:15 as well. Thomas had a great question on Twitter, Eric. Do you think we're seeing the start of a new trend where coaches are negotiating their contracts that will be for bigger budgets and not bigger salaries? I think this is a good question because I don't think it's a simple yes or no.
I mean, I think that you would see – if you were a head coach that wanted to win and that was what you wanted to do, and obviously you want to keep your value up, you know, to where you're high paid, and it's about what your value is and where you're seen in the rankings of the coaching world. That's why you want the money.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Saban doesn't need the money he's making now at this point in his life, but it's Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So he needs to be the president.
The highest paid.
That's how it should be. Anyway, I think that you'll see coaches go more into the, I want to be high paid, but give me a base salary that's, I mean, even if it's just, hey, whatever I would normally negotiate for, I'm going to take $1 million less. I'm going to put that $1 million that I would have made in incentives for me to hit. And then I'm going to take an extra $1 million that money, it's not going away in the budget. The overall coaches pool budget now has $1 million in it, and if you assume everyone on your staff is paid according, you know, like being paid okay as it is, then you just took $1 million that you can, when you lose your coordinator that makes 1.3 on defense to go to Baylor, and I don't know what he made, but in your mind you're sitting there going, all right, I had 1.3 and I got $1 million, so I technically could go spend $2.3 million on a defensive coordinator, and you could hire anyone you wanted in the country for $2.3 million.
Yeah.
I don't care. Bob Stoops just went to Michigan. Cool.
Go get him.
Offer him $2.3 million a year for 4 years, and go get him.
He's coming.
Yeah, but you can't do that with 1.3. You know, it's and you can't do that if you've already if your current staff has maxed out the budget. Then when you if you're paid every dollar you could be paid too, like Pruitt makes what $4 million a year.
Yeah, and he's going to get a bump this offseason because he's for sure currently will. The 12th highest paid coach in the SEC.
Yeah, if I'm Pruitt, I'm saying, hey, if you know you negotiate your whole thing, you have your agent do it, and let's say that they offer him $1 million raise a year, and they're going to pay him $5 million and get him more like in the upper middle.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd say, all right, give me $500,000 more every year, and let's have $500,000 to hire the best coach. Because then you can see, even if you got your DC paid, that's money that you when they get started, start getting offered jobs. Because Ansley, you don't want Orgeron to say, hey, I got $2.3 million.
Yeah, I know Derek you're Ansley, making a million.
Derek Ansley would absolutely take the LSU Tiger job for $2.3 million.
For twice the money he's making, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah, a young guy who hasn't made all that money before. These guys are like.
Anybody would take a doubling of their salary
to go do the same job somewhere else.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. So if that's the case, then you need to build in some leeway to say, well, here, we'll pay you an extra. You know, we were going to use that to go hire a position coach for, you know, T. Martin. You know what I mean? Or we're going to go get the next best position coach, running back coach, best recruiter in the country. And instead of paying him $500,000 or $600,000, we're going to pay him $1 million to be a position coach and recruit the best players in the country. To answer his question, don't you think that that's going to be part of the negotiation?
Yeah.
It already is, but I would see that the way we watch coordinators and then position coaches now, there's a lot of seven-figure position coaches in college football. Not 100, but there's a lot. I mean, there's Michigan itself has a couple on their staff.
Yeah.
Alabama's had a couple over the years. I'm pretty sure Georgia has one, at least one right now. I don't think we have –
not only we have $1 million position coaches but
that are making that kind of money, but we have some that are close.
Ansley and Chaney being two of the highest paid coordinators in college football, so it is an investment. But we've seen it now pay off at LSU. I don't know that every coach is going to do that, and I don't know that every coach is going to want an incentive laden contract. But I think as they become more common, it will be easier for athletic directors to pitch those to coaches. But you have some coaches who want to. You know, they're confident in themselves, but they still want the soft landing if it fails, and they're going to try to maximize their salary so they can maximize their buyout. An agent's going to want that as well.
I just, you know, like, and maybe you have to look at each individual job, but, like, if I were a first-time head coach and you were going to, and I was already making $4 million a year, I would leverage everything I had. Like, at that point, I think you're way better off putting all your chips in the pile. Like, imagine if Butch did that and had endless amounts of money. So we retained Bob Shoop, we kept him, and then instead of getting Larry Scott, he was able to go out and get whoever he wants, Joe Brady from the Saints.
Yeah.
Or whoever. I mean, if he'd had $1.5 million to hire an offensive coordinator, who knows what happens to this, to his coaching career. That's all, you know, who knows what happens to his coaching career. I'm just saying, I think that if you're young, like if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm put all my chips in the middle of the table. I leave nothing. I take a little less so I can have a little more to pay for the staff. And I leverage everything I have to win. Because if you don't succeed here, then you're back to being a coordinator.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put all the chips in.
All right, hour number two of the Eric Haynes Show's next, 656-9900. If you want to join us, we'll take some of your calls to start hour number two next. So broadcast live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. We're here on Callahan Drive on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.